This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Up the Mess. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and I'm joined by the lovely, the beautiful, the hilarious, Gracie girl.
Woo!
She's back, whether you people like it or not.
Literally, shout out to you. I was like, enough, Gracie. It's unbearable. It's like, okay.
You know, and that brings me to my next point. I received a review last week that rocked my world. It was a review that said that I shouldn't drink water while recording a podcast, and I'm also lazy for doing so. And I just have to say, I would love for you fuckers to sit in front of a mic and talk for 60 minutes straight. You're going to get thirsty.
Yeah.
Also, you're on Zoloft, so that just makes your mouth dry.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, my mouth is always a desert. It's Desert Storm. Okay. I mean,
don't get me started. Like, the reviews.
And also, I'm just like, this is a free podcast. Like, yeah. We're having fun. I understand. I'm trying to get the clicking noise under control. And I was hanging out with my parents last weekend, and I noticed that they do it. So I'm like, fuck, it's genetic. Like, I'm fucked. You know, so I hear the note, the drinking water, I refuse to stop doing because I can't help that I'm thirsty from talking.
You gotta drink water.
But as far as the clicking of the mouth, I will be knocking that off, you know?
Honestly.
My bet. I'll be doing my best.
Every time you hear Sam drink water, let that be a reminder to you to also take a sip of water. We as a nation are dehydrated. Also, I've gone on rants about these reviews and how mean and nasty they are. But like, also, we must give a shout out because the overwhelming majority is so
sweet. Positive.
They're so nice. Mm-hmm. I feel bad because like I only like give attention to like the 2-3 people that apparently fucking hate me.
I know.
But I get such nice ones. And then everyone comes to Crazy Nation and they're so nice and I like it. Love it.
Love it. Live, laugh, love. So, as everybody knows, I've moved. And, you know, this weekend was the weekend of organization. This was the weekend of unpacking some boxes and getting shit together.
Yeah.
Because I could only do so much during the week last week, like with work. And by the end of the workday, I'm like, I do not feel like I opened up my box spring and truly cried because I was like, I have to build this. Like, I was so sad. All I wanted was a good night's sleep. My bags were hanging down to my fucking ankles.
Oof.
And I was just couldn't handle it. But so I was opening up some boxes this weekend and I came across this box. And like, I'm not a very like sentimental person, like a nostalgia. I don't know. Like, it's just not my thing. Like, I have a couple little things here and there that I have had for my whole life. But other than that, there's really not much I have.
Yeah.
So I'm opening up this box. You know, I found my, like, first stuffed animal, Mr. Bear. I found a certificate from when I played softball one time. You know, Danny said you should hang that. I said, go fuck yourself. And then I come across this, like, crumpled up piece of paper. Ooh. And I was like, what's this? I open it up. It's this list of Santa. It's like a Santa's Christmas list. A letter to Santa.
Yeah.
It was the darkest letter to Santa. You would have thought I was like Orphan fucking Annie. And I was like, Okay, you guys, I was expecting to see like American Girl doll, Barbie, you know, now CD, like something. I was clearly, I believe I was in like first or second grade, just from the handwriting, the way I spelled aunt.
Ooh.
Was aunt. Strange. Well, because I brought up my aunt in the letter.
Oh, like
I,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Guys, all I asked for.
This is so bad, y'all.
So dark. But I want everyone to know, like, I'm okay. We can laugh about it. Like, I give you permission to laugh. Okay? And mind you, you have to keep in mind, like, let me set the stage. I'm going through all this shit. Danny is sitting right next to me, like, oh, no. Watching me do this. I'm like, Danny, who's Jewish? I go, Danny, oh, my God, I found a letter to Santa. And he was like, oh, God. Like,
something I never experienced.
Yeah, he was like, oh, great. And it's so weird that I kept this. I don't know why I have it. Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the letter to Santa simply just asked for a loving family house.
Ooh, boy.
Then I proceeded to describe it.
You didn't tell me the descriptors.
I wish I could get it out.
I wish you could. Maybe you should.
I mean, I didn't get rid of it. I was like, I clearly kept this for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
But I was describing it like I wanted it to have a long driveway and I wanted the floors to be like this color and the walls to be this color. And I wanted this.
Real estate goal list.
Yeah. I was on House Hunters.
Yeah.
For a loving family house. And then on the back, I ranked my like what I wanted in order of like most important to least important.
Yeah.
But I only put one thing. And it was the most important. It's a loving family house on the back. And the rest of the lines were blank.
Were they getting divorced at this time or
they divorced after? And I think I have a theory. I'm gonna get timelines from the parents. I'm gonna be like, when did you guys like what month did you divorce?
Yeah.
Because I believe they divorced when I was in third grade.
Yeah.
So I'm like, they must have seen this because my parents were like not the kind of people that like ignored that shit. Like,
yeah,
not to get like too personal, but fuck it. I already said the darkest thing I've ever said on this fucking podcast. Asking for a loving family house for Christmas. So, of course, you know, I did look at Danny and I was like, you know, if you were ever envious of the little kids and, you know, Christmas, this is what we were asking for.
Yeah, there was darkness.
You know, it's like there was darkness. There was darkness afoot, you know?
It was.
And so, yeah. I mean, when they separated and I was like 3 years old, my mom told me that it was because I had developed a stutter when I was like three.
Your mom did not tell you that.
Not saying that I was the reason, but saying like, they noticed that like I was so nervous about like the tension in the house and everything that like I started to stutter. Yes. And they were like, that's like not good. So then they separated.
I thought you were saying like divorced because you stutter.
No, then that would explain my Christmas list. If that was the case. But I had to share that story with everybody because I found it so funny. Well, I texted you right away and I was like, crazy.
One time I was like really like feeling emotional. I mean, my parents divorced when I was like a baby, so they were like nailed it there. But I had like a lot of emotions as a child. And I remember one time I got into poetry and I would write poetry, but like it was bad. So I watched As Told by Ginger. And
oh my God, a favorite.
The little girl performs, I'm a little seal girl living in a sea world and nobody understands me. I wrote that into a poem and I gave it to my mom and I said, I feel like this.
And what'd she do with that?
Nothing.
Okay.
And I was already in therapy. So they were like, we'll talk about that next week with Dr. Susan.
Yeah. They're like, we'll tackle this a different day.
A lot of
it was, you know, if you can't laugh, I mean...
If you can't laugh at your childhood sorrows. And I think, honestly, children these days aren't as sad as they used to be. And that's where we develop sense of humors, is like dealing with dark thoughts.
Darkness.
I feel like we don't have that anymore. I feel like everyone's like in therapy.
I feel like the opposite. I feel like there's a lot of sadness out there. I feel like kids are feeling emotions that maybe they're just learning to vocalize them sooner.
Yeah, I internalized mine and became like obsessed with karaoke. And I was like, if I can't keep my family together, I'm going to sing Shania Twain. That's the least I can do for my personal growth.
I used to tell you what I did. Like, I would sing in the shower. Yeah. And I would sing really loud with the window open because I thought that if someone walked by, like, that's how I would get discovered.
Were you the one that also used to sleep pretty?
Yes.
Wait, tell that story. Fucking weird. Yeah, girl, we did that too. We were all like, what?
Yeah, we were all sharing like our weird like things that we did that like we never tell anybody. So I'm gonna tell thousands of people what I used to do. So I used to do this thing where like I wanted to sleep pretty. Like I would have these like visions that like if I was sleeping in like my school middle school. I was like, I can't sleep with my mouth open. So like I'm not a mouth breather at night still to this day due to the fact that I trained myself to sleep pretty. I would have my hair like laying across my pillow. No, I would like –
because you thought like you're
– because I thought – I go, what if – this is my thing. What if my crush came to my house and looked through the window and saw me sleeping? What would they think? And I was like, I have to sleep pretty. Isn't that demonic?
It's demented.
It's so fucking crazy. Like the things that like kids used to think, like Gracie, I mean, I used to pretend that I was like sitting on a talk show and like answering questions.
Damn, I still do
to myself. Yeah, TBH.
I still do that. Like I'm in the bath and I'm like, or I'm in the bath. I'm in the shower, but sometimes the bath. And I'm like, you know, working on this movie, it was a real journey for us all. And
it was a labor of love, you know.
Like, still to this day, it's fun.
All the time. It's so fun. Or like because of America's Next Top Model, I used to pretend and I was doing a commercial in the shower and I would read like the back of the shampoo bottles and I would try so hard to memorize what it said on the back because Tyra always said like you have to memorize.
Yeah, like you can't check your lines. I would wash my face and like throw it in my face.
Yeah, see, no, those things are normal. Sleeping pretty, just in case your crush happens to come by your house at 10:30 at night when you're in fifth grade, is not normal. And also, I have to remind everybody, like, no one thought I was cute. Like, no one had a crush on me in school. Like, I was a weirdo. So it's not like I was like a part of like the cool girl crew, and like that maybe somehow could happen. This was like, this boy didn't even know I existed. Okay. You know, I'll never forget the time I ran into my crush. This was 10th grade. I'll never forget it. No, was it 10th? Yeah, it was 10th grade. I ran into him. He had no idea I existed. I had no clue. Yeah. I ran into him in the hallway and he was on his way to baseball practice. I was on my way to softball practice. And like, you know that thing, like when you run into someone and you're both kind of like going like this, yeah, like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're kind of like doing this thing. I looked at this man, dorky as hell, got braces. I look like a goddamn mess.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, we're dancing.
Oh no.
And he looked at me like.
Like, who are you?
Who the fuck are you? And I was mortified. Ooh, mortified.
That's bad.
And I was also in like my softball gear. So I was in like an XXL jersey with like my skinny little arms and like my no ass and my little cleats. Like it was horrible for 2 years in high school. I was not good. But I was the morale on the team.
Yeah. A personality hire, if you will.
Absolutely. But okay. Ooh. There are more important things we need to get to than me and my childhood traumas.
Oof, I'm like nervous to talk about this all.
You guys, we've gotten some news today. Some tough, tough news. I couldn't even believe my eyes.
I didn't believe it. I didn't. I called
you. No, you didn't. You called. No, you said, you're like, is this true? And I said, Kim is quoted in the article.
Oh my
so
God.
I get the notification that Kim Zolciak dash Bierman, hyphen Bierman, they're getting divorced, her and Croy. It says, according to legal docs obtained by TMZ, the Real Houses of Atlanta star lists April 30th as the date of separation between her and her former NFL star. The two were married for 11 years and have 4 kids together during that time, and he legally adopted Ariana and Brielle. Kim says she's filing because the marriage is, quote, irretrievably broken with no hope of reconciliation. She's asking for primary physical custody of the kids and joint legal custody. And this is what really gets me. She wants to legally restore her maiden name.
That is insane.
That's the part for me.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
It's like, it's really upsetting. You know, there aren't many things in this life that surprise me anymore, especially coming off the heels of the Scandoval.
Yeah.
This one caught me off guard.
Like, I mean, no, I saw no red flags. There was nothing brewing for me.
No.
It was shocking to my core because Sam and I's, like, not dirty little secret because I'm not, like, ashamed of it, but we
fancy ourselves a fan.
Here's my thing. I like anybody that makes me fucking laugh. And she is one of the funniest housewives who have ever graced our television. I am completely understanding that she has said some fucked up things. And I can't explain that. But for an entertainment purpose only, I loved her shit. I loved when she was smoking cigs, drinking wine. I love Don't Be Tardy. I love Don't Be Tardy when they go in the RV. I listened to House of Kim. That was embarrassing, but I listened to every episode. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Barb.
Whoa. I know. She's really on my ass when I podcast. Excuse me.
So, with Kim,
it's
shocking crazy. Because she's like, this is my soulmate. I manifested this man. We saw them meet.
We saw it.
The chemistry was electric.
Tight ass.
When I saw them meet, I was like, love, true love.
True love.
True love.
The stars aligned for them. They got married on 11-11-11. Mm-hmm. They had four beautiful kids. Those three boys look like they could
beat my ass.
Beat my ass. And you know what? They're good fucking kids. They always get awards at school. They're always getting certificates from their teachers saying that they're like the most well-behaved. Like they're the most polite little kids. I was a Kim Zolciak. Like I loved her.
Yeah.
And like you said, like the problematic shit, I can't speak for that.
Yeah.
But I do have such a soft spot in my heart for her because she does also represent like this golden era of like Bravo to me. I have a
soft spot for like any of like those
OGs. Those OGs.
Like 06, you know, like pre-social media, pre-plastic surgery type looks. Like she was busted on that fucking story.
When she said she was 29 years old.
Bitch!
The first reunion, I said where?
Okay, so actually, while I'm thinking about this, because obviously, like, I'm on the Instagram, I'm looking up everything, I'm on the Twitter.
Yeah.
And obviously, Croy adopted Brielle and Ariana, which is a stand-up thing to do. And everyone's like, well, what's going to happen? Well, he still has legal rights to them as their legal parent. But when Ariana got arrested last year, or this year for a DUI, guess what her name was on her mugshot?
What?
Zolciak. So I don't think those girls legally changed their names.
They just did on Instagram?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've been digging on the interwebs. It's so.
You have. You are on the front lines.
I know. Sometimes I just find myself on the front lines. And when I listened to House of Kim, which was her podcast, when Croy was the co-host, they would talk about all kinds of things. And one of them being business dealings. And I remember, and this was years ago, because they haven't posted in a long time. I remember inexplicably, they never said they were ending it. It just stopped one day. That was a wild Wednesday.
When was the last episode?
Years ago. I think like 2 years ago. Yeah. But I would listen to it, and Croy was, I don't know this to be, like, if he was their official manager, but he was managing a lot of the business dealings with, like, the girls with their brand deals, Kim and her brand
Cashmere.
Deals. Cashmere with Cab. So I got a little curious. The kitten bit. The curiosity kitten. Sorry. So I log in to the department of whatever .gov at Georgia. And I'm like looking up all their trademarks and such. And I'm like, da, 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 da. And then finally I see Cab, which is Kim Ariana Brielle's cosmetic line, which is also, it's in Walmart. I'll leave that there. And I look it up and guess who's the owner? Croy. So he is the owner of like all their little businesses. And my theory, which is unproven, allegedly, I have no fucking idea. I don't know these people personally, is that they started having all these money problems publicly in the last year or so, correct?
Yeah. So, we've always wondered, like, how they're staying alive with how much they spend.
Well, they could have lived a normal life with all that money.
It never was, like, public. And then we started getting, like, court docs involved.
Yes. So I think when all of that started coming out publicly, Kim was like, hey, babe, what the fuck's going on with our cash? Tell me the tea. And he was hiding it.
Do you think it was like a Ponzi scheme? Almost like maybe a Tom Girardi. He owed someone money and he like kept owing people money maybe. And like he couldn't keep up with it anymore.
I get this vibe from Croy, and this comes from the House of Kim podcast. Ugh, I hate even saying that.
Yeah. The way that just rolls off the tongue.
I know. The House of Kim podcast
is tough.
The vibe I get from Croy, and this is probably going to be unpopular opinion, is kind of a know-it-all douche. And he acts like he knows he's the smartest in the room and he knows everything and yada, yada, yada. So I think he was running these businesses with a false sense of confidence. And like, I think he ran him into the fucking ground. And I think Kim got wind of it, got pissed, and was like, you're not going to fuck with my bag and my children. I'm leaving you and I'm getting rid of this fucking name because I want nothing to do with you because you're broke.
It's just so fucking crazy. For me, the name change is what really is getting me. Yeah. Because you see a lot of women, like, look at Camille Grammer, for example, or like Luann De Lesseps, someone like that, where they maybe had like an ugly divorce, but for the sake of their kids, they want to keep the name the same because it's like a hassle, the school, blah, 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 blah. It's just to feel like more like a family, I think. Yeah. So for her to want to change it just back to Zolciak is tough stuff. And it's just, you know, and then I went back and I looked at her Instagram and we were on the phone while I did this. And Kim hasn't posted since January.
Yeah.
And you and I were like, oh my God, how do we not notice? But that just says how much you and I just thought they were okay. We didn't even have to check in on them.
She deleted their anniversary post today.
On 11/11?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's brutal. And I think it's nasty. And
it's going to get real nasty.
Well, those twins, you know, I was like, oh no, those poor like 5-year-old twins. They're 9. They're fucking 9. They're Kaya? Yeah, they're gearing up for middle school. Like, they're old.
They're about to be double digits.
Well, they're about to have their own brand deals and accounts. Do you remember when Kim got into so much trouble for photoshopping her daughter?
Yeah, she would photoshop her nose.
And her butt.
Yeah, it was really weird. That was a really weird era for Kim.
I know.
Can't defend it, but I've seen worse things on Instagram.
Amen, amen. But this news is shocking.
It's shocking. It's upsetting. I want it all filmed. You know,
she'll come back to Atlanta?
No, I don't think she'll come back to Atlanta. I think the girls are done with her, but I do hope she gets a show on some network.
Well,
put her on Freebie, put her on Tubi, put her on fucking.
I love Freebie.
Put her on public access. Like, I don't care.
Ariana and Brielle were supposed to get their own show. That was in the workings.
What happened?
It was called Cut Off. And like,
there I know. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Croy probably fucked that up. I'm just sad. Like, I thought I could cry. Like,
I wish you would.
I've cried so much on this podcast. Like, it's really crazy.
I love
it's
when
whack-a-doodle time.
It's whack-a-doodle time.
It's fucking whack-a-doodle time. And it's...
If we ever had a podcast, just me and you, it should be called It's Whack-a-doodle Time.
It's whack-a-doodle time. Sure is.
Do you think Brielle and Ariana are going to say something?
Yes.
No.
You know who? Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, do you think those are something on
bad? If it is bad and Croy did something fucked, I can picture Ariana being the one to say something. I don't think Brielle would. I think Ariana's got a little, you know, Kim in her. We didn't think so.
It's such a disappointment.
I know. We all had such high hopes.
We don't
remember. That was Croy's girl. Like, that.
No.
Remember at the wedding when he gave them rings?
Yeah.
I have the chills. Like, I thought he was this good. Remember, his family hated her.
Yeah.
And Kim would, like, try to make him, like, his, like, favorite meals. And his mom would be like, you're horrible at this.
Where is Chef Tracy Bloom going to go?
I hate Chef Tracy Bloom.
Why do you hate Chef Tracy Bloom?
Oh,
what did she do to you?
I cannot stand her. She was the downfall of that show.
What? What?
Horrible. I find her so annoying. I find her so disgusting. The way that she walks around that kitchen making lasagnas. She makes me sick. She does.
Walking around my kitchen.
I hate her with that fucking apron on, that chef's coat.
You know what I never liked about Chef Tracy Bloom?
What? Tell me.
Is the joke she would make about, like, having a crush on Brielle. I found that incredibly inappropriate because Brielle was like,
she was a teenager.
She was like 18 and like in her own home.
Yeah, but then you got to look at her mom, you know, who's saying that Brielle can blow whoever to get John Legend tickets.
Honestly, it's so iconic.
No, I know. Like,
that was so funny.
It was so funny. You know who? You know what I hope happens? I hope Kim Golsiak goes on Two Teas in a Pod with Tamara and Teddy. That'd be good.
Get Kim Zolciak on Call Her Daddy.
Oh my God, sitting down that chair in some sweatpants.
I will sign a petition to get it done.
How do you feel about Alex Cooper?
You know me. We've talked about this before privately. I used to be very anti-Call Her Daddy. I thought it was really weird and gross when it was like, if you think your man's cheating, suck his best friend's dick. I did not like that.
Yeah, that was a really weird era.
Yeah,
and like, I had a friend who was like an avid listener and be like, so I heard on this podcast how to hack your man's texts. I'm like, this is like not what we should be doing.
Yeah. I didn't love that message being pumped out to, like, young, impressionable women.
Okay.
Now, she is one of... She's, like, the Barbara Streisand of her time.
Barbara Streisand?
I mean, nope. Barbara Walters.
Walters. Sorry. I was like, is she a singer?
I wish. No, Barbara... She gets great interviews. I think
she gets great interviews. I do wish she would press a little bit more, get some better questions.
You know who presses? Nick Viall.
I know. That man gets everything. Motherfucker.
And I hate him. I know. Hate him.
Last week's podcast was a shock. I literally said I agreed with him on something. It was horrible. It was so hard for me to say. But that man gets the fuck. He gets to the juice. Like, he gets to the meat.
And he's fucking engaged to, like, a child.
Yeah. 18-year age difference.
That's sick. That is.
And you know what's
sick.
The worst? She's, like, so fucking beautiful.
Of course she is.
Like, she's so, like, naturally gorgeous. Like, it makes me sick.
I'm naturally gorgeous.
Same.
My eyes are sinking into my skull.
No, I look like I haven't seen the sun in a year.
No, I think you look pretty.
Okay. I want your thoughts. I want your thoughts. On number one, Taylor Swift releasing Speak Now.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift dating Matt Healy, allegedly, from the 1970s.
Well, I'll start with the positive. Okay. Speak Now came out in, I want to say, 2010, which was a really important year.
2011.
Which was an important time for both of us. We were graduating high school. It is one of my favorite albums, not for like any like, it's musically like defining. It's just those songs meant so much.
It was musically defining.
No, I'm saying it's like not because like the music was so amazing that like it's my favorite album, but just like in the time of my life when it came out, it is so important to me. Mm-hmm. When I knew it was
to us,
I knew it was coming, but because like the Swifties, because
she's re-releasing all of them, the Swifties are using their witchcraft to like,
oh my God,
figure out the this and the that. And you know what fucking sucks, Gracie, is I shit on them all the time in my mind, of course not publicly, because I don't want to get attacked.
Yeah,
but the thing that sucks is like they're usually right.
They aren't. They are wrong.
Oh, okay.
They're wrong more than they're right.
Oh, really?
Yes, because they say some crazy, crazy shit sometimes. They're like, the numbers of the letters of the words that add up to this, Taylor's going to perform at the Congress. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're like, latitude, longitude. It's insane. They're mentally ill. But also, as a proud member of the Hive, the Beehive,
that's you with Beyonce.
Yeah, like I can't really shit on them. I will say I'd rather be in the beehive than the Swifties. Just
are you trying to like get like attacked?
So I like.
Are you trying to get my reviews fucked up?
I like to start discourse. No, my don't. If you want to fight me, you come to my Instagram directly.
Yeah, but
I'm looking at Speak Now. I'm looking at the track list. Like every single one of these songs is so
fucking
important
to hits. Me. Enchanted.
Back to December.
Oh my God, Dear John.
Dear John, The Story of Us, Never Grow Up, Better Than Revenge. That's the thing.
Innocent, Mean.
I hope she doesn't
Last change. Kiss.
I hope she doesn't change Better Than Revenge.
Why would she?
Because she, like, came out.
Oh, like, it was, like, about that girl.
It was about Camilla Bell or whatever. Yeah.
Never, don't change it.
Don't change it. Let us have a little internalized misogyny. Please! Do it on the mattress. Whoa!
That was really upsetting.
Okay. I know. I'm so excited. And then have you seen the rumors of her releasing a book 2 days later?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have.
I'm confused because I don't want to buy into it because the Swifties are weird. But she also said, like, she said, dear readers in her post, which I didn't understand what that was. But then in the caption on her Instagram, she's like, just in time for like July 9th, if you know, you know. I don't know, Taylor. Like,
it's in a song.
Why are you speaking in code to us all the time?
Because her fans eat it the fuck up and she's doing what she does best. And it's honestly, you know what I have to say is it's really, really nice to see her at her most beloved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think for a really, really long time, people really shit on her.
Well, I think it wasn't cool to like Taylor.
It wasn't cool. She was, you know, writing about boys, but it's like, I mean, we've already disputed that point a million times. I don't have to get into that on this podcast, how stupid I thought that fucking point was.
Right.
But I think now, like, how she treats her fans, how she puts on these concerts for her fans, it's so not something we see anymore. Like, she performed till 2 a.m. last night in the rain for her fans, got fined $100,000 for doing so, and was like, they fucking waited for me. I'm performing for them. I don't give a fuck. Right. And then you have people like Morgan Wallen who cancel because he supposedly lost his voice.
Yeah.
An hour, you know, after the concert was supposed to start. It's just like these artists are fucking babies.
Mm-hmm.
And you get what you put out.
Yeah.
And they're not putting out anything for their fans. And it's like people now they're like, okay, I'm going to stream music for free. But unless you're giving us as fans like our due and like what we deserve, like we're not going to go buy your album.
No.
You know?
We probably never will. I think we've just been in the last like 10-ish years have gone through this like total transformation of like, young girls and like young women were shamed for liking things whether it be like Starbucks, whether it be pumpkin patches,
Ugg boots.
Like we were just like, if young girls liked something, it was like, you fucking loser. And Taylor Swift fell into that. Mm-hmm. And so now we're entering this age like, fuck you, I'm gonna like what I like, and I don't like, this brings me joy and I am going to celebrate that joy. And so now people can unapologetically like what they like.
And that's what I'm seeing too, is people are unapologetically liking her.
Yeah.
Like they don't care anymore. They're excited about their Eras outfits. They're excited to see her. It's everywhere. You can't escape it. And it's just, I'm really happy to see that. And like, I talk to Danny all the time about this when it comes to like, why is it a guilty pleasure that I like reality TV, but like you have a fantasy baseball league?
It's because you're a woman and it's something that is like universal. Like
you manage a fake team and that's not a guilty pleasure. That's a hobby. But like and me talking about reality TV, like, do you know how many times I have to like defend my job or not even defend it, but I also have to like kind of pad it with something like I have to kind of make the joke first, like, oh yeah, I know it's kind of stupid, like I have to say that. And it's like that's something I want to stop doing.
It's internalized misogyny
and it's like we all have it.
Yeah,
of course, like people are coming at me about my Tom takes with Ariana.
Oh, I mean, it's when people talk to me about my stupid little Instagram stories. See, I just did it. My Instagram stories.
See?
Where I talk about things that I like, which is like sister wives or like my flowers are dying. What do? I found a taser this morning. Like, it's just me like talking.
Being silly goose. And
people will like, people in my real life, like no one comes up to me that I don't know. But people in my real life be like, oh my God, like I love your silly little stories. And I'm always like, oh my God, like me just being an idiot.
Yeah, I'm always like, I'm such a clown.
I'm so stupid. And it's like, Gracie, just like shut the fuck up.
It's like, what? No, I know. And Danny always tells me, he's like, stop doing that.
I know.
Like, you've done something really cool. Like, yeah. Stop like putting yourself down about it.
Oh, Taylor would be so proud of this discourse.
You know, so proud. Yeah. So proud. But no mean girls here.
None. We're nice. We are sweet. You and I are sweet girls.
We are. I mean, just like, don't fucking piss me off, you know?
Oh, I mean, what are you gonna, like, Sam, you are like,
what am I really gonna do?
Yeah, you're the sweet person. Like, don't piss me off, I'll cry.
Yeah. Like, okay. Literally.
Well, me. Let's talk about Maddie Healy.
No. Oh, yeah. I was gonna avoid.
Yeah, well, I have been, shout out to you, because I've always, like, I love 1975 as somebody who's like a Tumblr girly who was.
Yeah,
like,
he's very Tumblr era vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I was a Tumblr, I wanted to be a Tumblr girly. I was not, but I tried really hard. And I like the music. It's happy. But Sam brought to my attention that he's been doing naughty, 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 naughty things like Nazi salutes and posting list of Jews on his Instagram.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So it's rumored that him and Taylor are dating.
Yeah. Which I don't believe, by the way.
Okay. Tell us why you don't believe that.
It's too – Taylor Swift has – always shown us what she wants us to see. Like Taylor, if she, like, we didn't know about Joe for a while. Like,
do you think she's over that era of like, I'm done hiding who I'm with?
No, I think Taylor is just like, I'm gonna control you, how you view me. I'm gonna control the whole story around all this, which as she should, it's her whole brand. I think they're like, I think they're like probably gonna like have a duet or something, or he's gonna play a song.
Yeah, because Jack Antonoff came out and said that they like each other.
What?
Yeah.
Like?
I don't know.
Am I 10? Does he like her?
Like boyfriend, girlfriend?
Boyfriend, girlfriend, like?
That movie is about to be our whole personality. We're gonna be so insufferable. What movie? The Barbie movie.
Oh, fuck. I know.
That's gonna be bad. Like, we're not gonna be okay.
No, we're gonna be
so I've like heard, I've seen rumblings of like his problematic behavior on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then someone posted, this account is called Anti-Hero and Die. Shout out to them. It's a Taylor Swift account.
Okay.
And they said it's a thread basically detailing all of the problematic, racist, anti-Semitic bullshit that he spews and misogynistic, and I'm like in shock that like this isn't talked about more. Like I don't understand how Taylor's team would even be okay with her being like linked to someone like this. So back in January of this year, he was filmed doing a Nazi salute during his he was like performing, and he said, "Thank you, Kanye, very cool," and did the Nazi salute. And people are trying to defend it, being like, well, it was supposed to get like the adverse reaction, like making fun of Kanye. I'm like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not something you do, period.
Yeah.
And then he also a few weeks later, he posted on his Instagram a Wikipedia page called List of Jews. Makes me uncomfortable. Then he was in an interview and he called Ice Spice a chubby Chinese lady and mocking API accents. I mean, and there's like audio of this. This isn't like someone's like somehow misconstruing something.
Yeah.
Like there's, and like the list just goes on and on and on. He says he posted on Instagram an Instagram story saying, you start dating a Muslim girl, then boom.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, he's deeply problematic. He also followed Kyle Rittenhouse on Instagram. He followed Andrew Tate on Instagram. Yeah, like this guy is not
rotation.
And then so he was getting interviewed by these two women, and there's not a date on this.
Yeah,
but he says to them, these are quite heavy questions for girls that are dressed like you. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's just problematic. I think it's weird that people are praising him and Taylor. I also don't think that they're actually together. I think they might be coming out with a duet or something, like you said.
Yeah. It's normally
like not this like black and white.
It's
like,
not this overt ever.
No.
And she also like just broke up with Joe, which was like a 6-year relationship. So if in the off chance this is real, like Matt Healy's like an ex heroin addict.
Well, he's also ugly.
See, I don't want to get into that.
He's anti-Semitic, so
I know he's disgusting. I did go through a phase in life where I was so attracted to men who look like wet cigarettes, and. Mm-hmm.
We've all been there.
God, I did. Oh my God.
This I know.
Peter.
But let's talk about something positive. You and I.
Disgusting.
Yeah, we. Disgusting. Yeah, obviously. I do not stand.
No.
Okay. But I want to talk about something positive.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a little show that grabbed us.
Oh my God.
By the heartstrings.
Oh. I didn't know we were going to talk about this.
I forgot, and then I just remembered.
Oh, thank God.
Queen Charlotte, Oof. A Bridgerton tale on Netflix.
And let me tell y'all, when I started this show, when I clicked it on my little Netflix, I was
You started Queen Charlotte or Bridgerton?
Queen Charlotte.
Okay.
When I started Queen Charlotte, I was like, great. I just need something light and fun and colorful and pretty and like.
You wanted the music that they play, like you wanted
like a little horny, like yeah. I was really looking forward to that. And boy, did I get taken for a total journey! Truly, one of the most heart wrenching love stories I've ever seen, ever. Like, yeah. Truly, and it was, and I know people. Some people don't like it, Chris Lewis. And like
he loved it, but he hates it, you know.
And those people have very valid points, but like for taking it for
what I'm ignoring it.
So am I. I'm ignoring your takes, and it was just it's such a beautiful story, like beginning to end. I binged it in a day and a half.
Same.
Yeah,
you and I were on the same kind of journey. I was a little bit ahead of you, so I was like waiting for the text. Yeah, like I was waiting,
responding to me, and I was like. Hello.
So I watched season one of Bridgerton, and like everybody else, we were fucking locked up.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go. That show grabbed us like literally everyone was horny.
Throbbing over that show.
Throbbing. I mean, and then, you know, when you really think about the show, when you're talking about it, you're like, that was really weird. Like, he like jerked off like in the corner, like after, you know, like weird shit like that. But in the moment, like you didn't care. It was just, it was sexy and fun and different and like whatever.
Beautiful.
Season two, I know that people loved it. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't that into it.
It was a slower burn.
I was like, I don't know.
It was a difficult transition because Bridgerton came in like, boom, here we are. Like, we're fucking, we're sucking, we're wearing pretty dresses.
Mm-hmm. And we're dancing to music that's like instrumental,
like,
but like love story from Taylor Swift.
Like, I don't know why I keep singing on this fucking podcast. And
you're trying to get discovered.
I wish somebody come save me from this life. But season two, I loved it because it's not my favorite season by any means, but like, it was a really good. Story to me, it was less like captivating, but I liked the story.
Mm-hmm.
But Queen Charlotte,
oh, did something different.
It combined the best of both season one and season two as far as like how it was structured, and like it did it so differently because the first few episodes, you're in Queen Charlotte, like her point of view and like what she's experiencing.
So they take you back.
Yeah.
In time. So I'm going to put a spoiler alert up right now. Spoiler flashing.
Warning.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop what you're doing. If you don't want a spoiler, turn this off.
Yeah.
I will be putting the timestamp in the caption. But so the story starts as Queen Charlotte as a young girl. So like mm-hmm. it's her origin story. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes back and forth, but you get a lot of her origin story.
It's like 90% her origin story. Yeah. And then 10% her in like quote unquote present day, like trying to get her children married off. Mm-hmm. And
it as.
Yeah. So you see Queen Charlotte meet King George and like their wedding and all and just how he was like detached from her. And like as the viewer, you didn't really understand it
for no. And like I was like, what are we watching? Well, like I was so confused. I thought he was gay.
Well, when they flashed to him like showing up for dinner and then they fuck for the first time, I was like, I literally thought in my head, I was like, this is cheap shitty writing, Shonda, because like we don't even know like why he did that. Like,
I know. I thought that too.
I was like, you fucking lazy bitch, Shonda. Like,
yeah, but you know what Shonda said? Chill.
Yeah, she said,
got you, girl.
She said, hold on, fatso. I'm coming.
I'm holding you in my hands. You're safe, you know? And I should really trust her because she gave us Grey's. She gave us Scandal. She gave us everything. She gave us TGIT, you know? And
go ahead.
This show, the first few episodes, I was like into it. Like, because it's so Shonda. Like the writing, the monologues, the way that they're communicating. Like, it's so Shonda. As Jared Alexander said, that's Shonda's pen, you know? 100%.
100%.
And then when we get to the story of what's really going on with the king.
Oh, my God.
I was struck. And you know what? A lot of people could say, Sam, you could Google King George.
Well, I knew he was.
And get the tea.
Like, I knew he was the mad king.
So, I didn't know that. I didn't know these people were real. It was tough. It was tough to learn, you know?
Okay, well, infamously know.
Moving on.
King George.
Yeah.
You know, he was also the king that, like, lost the Revolutionary War. Like, America became America under King George. King George is the guy from Hamilton. It's the same guy. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
What?
You'll be back. Yeah, it's the same one.
Oh, my God. This is really rocking my world.
History is a crazy bitch.
Well, you know you and I with history.
I love history.
I love it too, but what do we know? Nothing.
I know more than you.
No, I know. You know different things.
There we go. I love women lifting women up. We know different things of different eras. Yes, yeah. I'm aware King George.
Put us together, we could give you a rough timeline of everything.
Oh my God, don't get us started on the pilgrims.
That rocks our world.
Honestly, y'all, this is so embarrassing. But Sam,
no, please tell the story.
Well, Sam and I thought we literally like landed in America, the pilgrims, and then immediately started the Revolutionary War. I was unaware that we had been here for a couple hundred years.
That, it like still gives me a chill. I when you told me that, I was genuinely like, what?
Well, when that became clear to me, when I got humiliated in a public setting.
Okay, also like, before everyone fucking yells at us and thinks like, oh my God, bimbo city, like, I don't want to get canceled for not knowing about pilgrims. But I just have to say, this is a question for everybody. I swear to God, there are two things that I learned in history class every single year over and over and over again. And it was the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
John Locke.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Same. You've learned it every year. You'd think I'd know. And the third is World War II.
I mean, don't get started on learning about the Civil
War. That was it?
I learned about the Civil War in the South.
In Georgia. Got a little bit of a different twist on it than I did.
Will and I were talking about it because Will and I went to the same school, and we were like, hey, by the way we were taught the Civil War was absolutely fucked. And I read a book, it's called What Your History Books Get Wrong, and it's a great book, and it just like basically dismantles everything we learn in history class is absolutely fucked.
I need to read that.
Oh, it's a great book.
Because I love history. Like, I love learning about it.
This book. It's really good because it's all – the way we're taught history is from a very specific lens that is historically inaccurate.
Yeah.
And things that we learned about are totally untrue, and it's crazy. But anywho, sorry, I didn't know the Pilgrims and the Revolutionary War were so far apart. But anywho, Mad King George. So we find out that he is like struggling with mental illness. And I just want to say this really quickly. He was the poor guy. He was really like, he had dementia, bipolar. There's all kinds of theories of what was wrong with him.
Yeah.
Why I love Queen Charlotte, the show, so much is because the how they depicted mental illness was something so refreshing that I hadn't realized that we hadn't seen that before, which is that like, despite your mental illness, you are still worthy of love and acceptance. Like, you don't need to cure yourself to be loved. And like, it was just something I'd never seen before. And I can't imagine how that would feel viewing as somebody who struggles with mental illness and like seeing someone that was accepted for who they are in their totality. Like, Queen Charlotte didn't love like sane, like clear, whatever, like in his present mind, George, and like, that's it. And she tolerated the other stuff. She loved all of it. And it was really, really, really beautiful.
It was really beautiful. And when you texted me that, I mean, it made me cry all over again because it just like really got me good.
Yeah.
It really, I could cry right now. It was like when she said to the doctor, like, I don't need you to fix him. I just want him to be happy. And this isn't making him happy. And this is torturing him.
Yeah.
And they like, I mean, like I said, spoiler alert. So if you're here at this point, you got through the pilgrim talk. I mean, God bless. You know, it was hard to watch him be like waterboarded and, you know, electroshock therapy, burn. I would think, the burn and the hitting with the rods. It was horrible.
There was not electricity yet.
Okay, so maybe not electroshock therapy.
No, not that one.
Not that one. what do I know? I'm such an idiot.
King George got electroshock.
Yeah.
It's a really
King George had a ring light outside. Like
he was losing followers like crazy.
Well, so like when he was in the observatory, when she went and she was like, because I'm going to visit him. Like, I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
And she goes to his observatory and she kind of is like, what's going on? Like, she could tell he was like sleeping there and like was kind of, he was like very manic. Like he was, but not, he wasn't ever dangerous. Like he just was in like kind of a manic headspace, like where he becomes like very hyper fixated on things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his things was like space. Like he loved space.
Yeah.
And learning about the stars and like Venus and like the
heavens.
The heavens.
She is, you know,
it was just a beautiful, beautiful story. And like the way that she just loved him. And there was a quote that she said where she was like, love is a choice.
Oh my God.
And I was a fucking wreck.
Yeah. She was talking to her children because
like, they were getting married and they were scared. Like, what if I don't love them?
When it would flash to her, quote unquote, present day, when she was like pressuring her children to give.
She was a cold bitch.
Well, she was an heir, but then at the end, it made sense. She only wanted King George's reign to be successful. And how you have a successful reign or like empire is that you have an heir. And so she was only focused on like closing that gap with King George so she could do it for him and he could do it for himself. And so as soon as her son, you know, gets married, has the baby, she goes to him and he's not there mentally. He's not there anymore.
They don't live in the same place anymore.
He's gone, you know, mentally. He's
in the heavens.
He's with the heavens and like the mental land.
That's what they call like where he goes.
Yes. And she crawls under the bed because that's where they hide
from
the
heavens. That's what they do.
And she was like, we did it. Like, you did it. Like, your line is safe. And he looks at her and he goes, our line. And then he goes, you didn't go over the wall. And she says, I didn't go over the wall. And then it flashes to when they're young and it just like all makes sense.
And they're like holding hands and like
they kiss
and it's just like this sweet moment because in that moment
he's there,
just George.
Oh, Farmer George. See, I'm like, we are disgusting, you and I.
I know. One second we're giving history lessons, the next we're talking about this. And then you know, there's a lot of side characters. You get a lot of Lady Danbury.
Oh, a lot.
I was really into her storyline too. Yeah. Like, I was just, it had me in its fucking grip.
It's all I watched. Like, I went to the pool.
It's all I can think about.
I went to the pool. Yeah, and I was like, I need to leave. Like, I need to go watch Queen Charlotte.
I need to go watch Queen Charlotte. Danny has passed out on Mucinex nighttime next to me.
Is he feeling better?
Yeah, he is. But it was a rough go over there for a sec. Wow. And then Brimsley.
I really can't talk about Brimsley.
I'll talk about it. So she has her hand, her right-hand man, her little helper, and his name is Brimsley. And the king has one too. And then you find out that the two helpers are lovers.
Gay lovers.
And they, like, have to do everything in private, and, like, it's very secretive. And, like, they also kind of have, like, a contentious relationship at times because, like, his lover's trying to do what's best for the king and he's trying to do what's best for the queen. But ultimately, like, they make it work.
Right.
And so, like, you see him as an older man, like, following her around still, you know, and he, like, defends her, like, to the death. He's a
Bridgerton. Y'all will recognize him.
He is a king, but not.
But not.
There's a scene, you guys. So the king, the queen is like, we have to throw this ball to, like, show the parliament that you're, like, in a right state of mind.
Yeah.
And he was nervous and he blah, blah, blah. And then they do this dance and it's, like, amazing. And then the camera pans out and you see Brimsley to the forest, and you see Brimsley and his lover dancing in the dark underneath the trees, like, in private, like, secret, so no one could see them. And they're doing this beautiful little dance together. And then it flashes to the future and you see Brimsley doing this dance and he's alone. I know.
That, when I tell you
that,
it felt like I got punched in the fucking gut.
No, I wasn't okay.
I was crying so hard that Will came in and was like, what's going on? Like, it was like someone in my life, like, had passed away. Like, I was like, like, it was just so unexpected and so heartbreaking and sad, because the way Shonda wrote it was to, like, leave you, like, wondering what happened to him. And apparently there was a cut scene that shows them
passing. You got, like, all the behind-the-scenes tea.
There's a cut scene that shows them passing each other in the hallways as older gentlemen, but they cut it. And so it leaves
I'm glad they did.
Same, because in my mind, how I portrayed it was, like, he passed away, like, tragically, and, like, never found love again.
Yeah.
Which is devastating.
Like, but I love Lady Danbury.
Oh, my God. I
love her.
The girl who played her is so beautiful.
So beautiful.
She was working in a butcher shop when she got the call that she got the part.
And she's American.
Throw her the Oscar. Throw it quick.
Well, then, you know, Lady Danbury is an older gal. She's also stunning and gorgeous and beautiful. But she's best friends with her ex-lover's daughter. That's a tough note.
I loved it, though. I also
loved it. I ate that the fuck up, those crowns.
I love that.
And the daughter laid them out everywhere.
She was playing chess. Mm-hmm. I love that Lady Danbury also chose not to remarry.
Me too. She was like, you know what? She got proposed to.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really fuck with Queen Charlotte. She was like, you could have just told me. Like,
I got nervous at that part.
Me too. She was coming about the brother.
Yes, I was like, girl, please don't make me hate you right now. Don't do it. Like, but she was like, you could have come and talked to me. And then was like, I'll call you up soon.
And it was nice to see, like, why Queen Charlotte is so tough and, like, why she is so harsh. And then to see her be so soft with him.
Yes.
It's, like, really so sad.
It gets the Sam and Gracie stamp of approval so hard.
So hard.
And, like, we only give that out to, like, most Adam Sandler movies. Like, stupid.
I will not apologize for loving Adam Sandler.
No, but,
like, I refuse.
Don't make us watch Tar, because we're not going to like it.
It's not going to happen. I tried. I failed.
No, I tried.
Give me Happy Gilmore. Give me Silly Goofy. Give me Grown Ups.
I have a really bad take that you're going to hate me for. I watched Moulin Rouge for the first time this weekend.
Didn't like it? But you're a Baz girl.
I am a Baz girl, but it was like Baz turned up. Like, it was.
You didn't think Elvis was Baz turned up?
No.
You didn't think the Colonel was Baz turned up?
Christmas boy. No, I could follow the Elvis story. Moulin Rouge, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Wait, what couldn't you follow?
The plot.
What do you mean?
Because, okay, I also stopped it like a little over halfway because I couldn't take it.
Oh, so you gave up.
It was so intense. I was getting a headache.
It is an intense movie.
It was like, okay.
It's a lot of red too.
We're going to trick Citrine into like hanging out with you and you're going to read her your poem to get funding for this play. But then cut to like 2 seconds later and like she's fully in on it and they're tricking the other guy into getting funding for the play. I'm like, when did we
cross?
It's so okay.
I hear you. I disagree.
I'm sure I agree too. It was also like 11:30 at night. Things
where it's like, well, okay. So I watched this comedy. When did you watch this? Was it after Queen Charlotte?
On Saturday. It
was after Queen Charlotte?
Yeah. It was right after.
So I have a story about this. It's not even a theory. I feel like it's just facts.
Yeah.
I'm just now putting it. I don't know. Just listen to me.
Listening.
So I was staying with my mom and her and I were like, what should we watch tonight? And I was like, let's watch this comedy special by Tim Dillon, who like I think is so funny.
Yeah.
He's like always kind of teetering the line of like being offensive, but also like being factual. And like there's some jokes that he puts out that truly my mom and I had to pause it because we were laughing and crying so fucking hard.
I love that.
When he was talking about how when COVID first started and like we all were like, nature is healing, like the earth needed this, the dolphins were in the rivers. Like that was me and my mom, like two fucking idiot losers being like, Sam, do you see the dolphins in Venice? They're coming back. It's like, bitch, people are dying. Like, whatever. It was like very Vanessa Hudgens. Like, it was very weird. So we were like, we were giggling. We had a good time. Then we're like, let's watch a show Dad told us about called The Diplomat. And it has Carrie.
Washington?
No. I almost said Carrie Hilton. Carrie from Felicity.
My name is Carrie.
I love her. No, she's from Felicity. Carrie something.
Yeah.
We're watching this. And her and I both look at each other. And I'm like, are you understanding a fucking word that this woman is saying? She wasn't speaking in like crazy, like she wasn't saying anything crazy, but our minds, like mentally, like I couldn't take that on in the moment. Like I couldn't hear someone talk about like being a British ambassador, like talking about war and Baghdad. Like it wasn't like registering on us. It was the craziest fucking thing. And then I tried watching Daisy Jones and the Six. It was the worst 2 hours of my goddamn life. I was so fucking mad while I was watching it. Like with every frame, I was so pissed. These fuckers ruined the book. Ruined it. The book was so fucking good. Riley Keough is great. Okay. Yes. Best actress of our time? I don't think so. I hated this fucking show, Gracie. Did you see it?
I got through 15 minutes and I was like, this is
terrible. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. There's a part where the girl, Camilla, holds a picture from their wedding. And like in the book, like I just feel like it could have been so much better and like so much more natural feeling. Because like I wish like they had like a bunch of pictures set out and she was like, oh yeah, that's a picture from our wedding. Instead, it was like this. She was like, this is the only picture from our wedding. Cut. I was like, like it felt like they just were feeding them like line by line.
Right.
And I was like, what is going on? And then the wigs were bad. That the man that played the main guy, I'm really blanking on names today, who looked old as hell.
Yeah.
He looked ancient.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, how much older is he supposed to be? I was like, the fact you're asking this. So after two episodes, I was like, Mom, what are you thinking? She goes, Sam, this is really not good. I was like, Mom, this is horrible. We were really striking out.
Yeah, I hate that show. And I do agree. I think, like, once you get done with, like, an emotional journey.
Whether it's happy, laughing, or sad and takes you in that route. Yeah.
Moving back, Moulin Rouge was kind of one of the worst things I've ever done.
Yeah.
Because it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went from sobbing, brokenhearted, shattered, like, the one of the most beautiful love stories to, like, and I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like ghoulish, it's like really crazy, like Baz Luhrmann at his like most Baz.
He was on acid. because yeah.
I don't really like Baz Luhrmann's stuff. I don't like Romeo and Juliet.
Did you like Great Gatsby?
No.
What the
fuck? I know. I felt like the biggest outcast during that era.
What?
When Great Gatsby came out, I was like, am I supposed to? I would pretend to like it.
I bought the soundtrack. I loved it so much.
Well, the soundtrack is different than what we got visually.
No, I disagree with you there. I think Great Gatsby does not get its
flat. I also don't think Leonardo DiCaprio should have played that guy. I think he should have played the other guy.
Gatsby?
Yeah, I don't think he was a good Gatsby.
I don't have words. Like,
Don't like Carey Mulligan.
Oh my god.
I know, that movie really didn't do it for me. No, I also don't like Tobey Maguire.
Well, did you like Elvis?
Well, yes, I liked Elvis because Austin Butler was shaking his thing.
I'm going to drop you like a hot problem.
Okay, first of all, I had a hyperfixation on Elvis when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah, but like
but I loved Elvis. I thought it was fun. I thought the Colonel was absolutely batshit crazy.
You know my thoughts on that.
Baby boy.
Baby boy.
Christmas. Snowman.
I can't believe that was Tom Hanks.
No, I honestly give him a Razzie.
Oh my god, I loved Elvis.
Best performance. Do you think Austin Butler is going to be do you think that was his one chance? Ooh, or do you think that could really do something with his career?
I think he has the potential to be our next A-lister from our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we grew up with the A-listers like Brad Pitt,
Julia Roberts, Denzel Washington.
We grew up with them. And mm-hmm. now I think Austin is going to move into that space with Florence Pugh, who don't say anything bad about her because I will kill you. Okay.
I was about to.
I know. I saw your little mouth.
Yeah. You saw me about to
No, Florence Pugh.
Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet,
Harry Styles.
You know who I'm thrilled is not on that list any longer?
No.
Shailene motherfucking Woodley.
Oh, the bitch.
I hated her.
I don't wear
jeans. I live out of a backpack. I'm like, you were in an Oscar nominated film. Will you shut the fuck up? That is what I had a problem with J-Law back in the day.
Yeah, and she does.
She was I really don't like being famous. I'm a normal girl. I'm like, then don't be in one of the highest rated franchises of all time, sweetie pie.
She should have stopped. Shailene should have stopped with Secret Lives of the American Teenager because that show was perfection, top
her to bangs, her side bangs,
no notes. That was the craziest show I've ever seen in my life.
We don't talk about ABC Family's shows enough.
ABC Family was giving us hit after hit after hit, and we did
get Wildfire,
Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah,
I was a Pretty Little Liar for sure. I was in that.
You were a PLL.
I mean, yeah, and the HBO.
That was a cultural blind spot for me.
Oh, Sam.
I know.
It
was one of those things where it's I couldn't get into it because it was too far into it.
Streaming. You had to be in it from the beginning.
It was appointment television.
Y'all are young. Actually, I don't know if you're demographic.
I think my demographic is about my age.
But streaming is relatively new. If we weren't watching the shows live, then we weren't watching them. That's crazy to me that because we were really closed off to some things, but Pretty Little Liars.
You caught him on a rerun.
Ooh, that was a good time.
It was a rarity.
HBO did a remake of Pretty Little Liars, and this is old news. But if y'all like spooky, scary, but sexy teen drama, y'all have to, it is scary and amazing. You don't need to watch it.
What happened to Sabrina?
Oh, it's done.
Wow.
Sabrina the remake on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, don't get me. That's actually kind of a sore spot for me because
you loved Sabrina.
It was season one was some of the best original television. It was so good and unique and easy and fun and light. Mm-hmm. And not to get kind of spooky with you guys, but every time I would binge Sabrina, something good would happen in my life. Randomly, just good things would happen during this era. So sometimes when I was in a dark place, I would be it's time to watch Sabrina because good things will happen. So maybe there's a little magic for you in there.
I like that.
Yeah. You do have shows like that. You're good things happen to me when I'm doing this. I'm going to do this.
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
no. I like no, but I am a very strong manifester. I've been told that multiple times by like empaths and stuff.
Do you remember our manifestation era?
We were the happiest we've ever been.
Sam, why did we stop? Like, y'all, we were like,
you guys don't even know. We would journal. We would talk positively about ourselves and like, but honest, we would be honest. Like, we'd be like, you know what? I'm not loving this. Yeah.
We would go to bed at night and we'd text each other and be like, so tell me what you're grateful for. Oh my God. That is so weird that we did that.
Yeah. But guess what? We were thrilled. We were happy as clams.
Happy. We're like, tell me what you're grateful for today. And like, tell me, like, I'm going to say good things about you and you'll say good things about me and we'll go to sleep with like love and happiness.
And guess what? I slept like a goddamn baby.
Oh, we should get back into that.
I was in like a weird relationship at that time and I couldn't even see the signs that he hated my guts because I was so happy.
I think your podcast would not do well if we were in our positive era. Because people want to hear. Yeah. People
want to hear real shit.
Yeah, they don't want to hear like
we're not manifesting.
We're grateful for Shailene Woodley's talent.
Yeah, good fucked.
Good fucked.
Anyway, well, you guys, this was such a fun episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. This was kind of like a hodgepodge.
Yeah,
hodgepodge of ep.
It was a hot mess, if you will.
Tell everybody where they can find you, Gracie.
Okay, well, I got to do this right or Sam will yell at me. You can follow me on Instagram at Gracie Bullitt, GRACIEBULLEIT. Come join Gracie Nation. We talk about everything that you could ever want. And yeah, do it or don't. I don't care.
Do or die. Never mind. Is that how they talk to Pretty Little Liars?
No. Sam, I actually think you might want to watch it.
I could probably get into it.
Yeah, I think you would love it. You know what we need to bring back too? Spooky Club.
I was just thinking that.
We haven't done that in years. Y'all, me and Matt would all pick a scary movie and press play at the same time and text the whole time through. So we were like all hanging out because we all live in different spots.
And we would make sure that the movies really were on at the same time.
Yeah, we would like FaceTime for the first 2 seconds to like make sure it lined up because it was so funny.
We did that with that nun movie, The Keepers?
No. Oh. That one.
Remember when they found the nun costume in the attic?
We screamed. Remember It Follows where it would like this movie was just like it like people following them? That was fucked.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on fucking Chuckles.
Hush. We watched too.
We did film that. Well,
anyway, thank you guys for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I will see you guys later this week. Bye.
Coda Media Production.